Hey there, my name's Oisín Lunny and welcome to Audio Talks, presented to you by Harman. And in this episode, we're going to explore a dynamic duet between a former Olympic level snowboarder and the former COO of Tidal. Welcome to the podcast, Abel Hart.
What's going on? Thank you so much. I love doing this, so I appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Welcome. Bienvenidos, Abel. Muchísimas gracias, amigo. And welcome to the podcast, Lior Tivon. How are you?
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me and thanks for the time. And thank you, Abel, for joining us.
Fabulous. Okay, we got a global podcast recording here. We've got New York on one line, Miami on another line. We got Barcelona on this line. And we are going to have a deep dive into this fabulous kind of duet that you guys got together. We're going to learn who you are, what you do, how you got to be Abel and Lior, and what happened to bring you together. And it's a very cool example of a creative new business model in the modern music business. So we are going to have a deep dive into all of this. But first, let's start at the beginning. Now, if you wouldn't mind letting our listeners know what it is exactly that you do today, and we're going to start with your good self, Abel.
Yes, what I do today is, I guess you could consider me still a musician, but I mix, master, produce, sound design, engineer, sing, write, do all the content for social media, post everything. And we live in a great time and age where someone as myself or anybody else is able to do that.
Well said, Abel. Definitely. Yeah, a proper polymath there. And how about your good self, Lior? Talk to us a bit about what you do at Duetti.
Yeah, so I'm the CEO and co-founder of Duetti. We started the company almost 2 years ago, and I do that full time and enjoying every minute.
Outstanding. Okay, so we know where we are today. Let's hear a bit about the backstory and how you got to where you are today. And we're going to start with your good self, Abel. Now, you have not always been doing what you're doing today. You did some very different things over the course of your career. Talk to us about how they took you to where you are.
Definitely. Yeah, it wasn't always music. I started out, my whole goal, I guess, to try and make a super long story relatively short would be, yeah, snowboarding. The goal was the Olympics. And I started at a young age. It just naturally made sense to me. It clicked. My mom paid for lessons when I want to say maybe I was 7 or 8. And they gave my mom back the money and said he didn't need to learn lessons. And that was the first time I ever snowboarded. So, yeah, she took out a second job to work at the ski mountain to be able to get me a ski lift so I could go there. And we went there every single weekend. And then you meet people. She met a lot of people and they're like, well, if he really wants to do this, he has to start competing. So kind of fell into the competitive realm with the sport. And then fortunately was able to connect with some other teams. And I started traveling all over and competing. That was it. If I could have chose back then to just live in a little hut on a mountain and snowboard every single day, that was the goal. Outside, obviously, Olympics and competitive aspect, but yeah, that's where it started, with snowboarding way before music.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. Okay, so we're going to get the parallel track from your good self, Lior. So talk to us a bit about how you came to be the CEO of Duetti.
Wow. Okay, so my story is different, but I started in finance. So I very far from music, and I was doing that for over five years in London in a big bank, Deutsche Bank. So very much kind of an investment banker type career start. A few years in, I worked with music companies kind of from a finance point of view. And then I just got a phone call, an invitation to come and work for a very small team that Jay-Z was putting together in Roc Nation to start a music streaming business called Tidal, which we're all very familiar with. And so I did that almost 10 years ago. I worked there as the COO for over 7 years. We ended up selling the company during COVID to Jack Dorsey and Square, or Block, the kind of US-based a payment firm. I stayed there for a year and then I left and decided to do something on my own after all of these years and started Duetti almost 2 years ago.
Outstanding. I love these parallel paths that we're getting familiar with right now. So Abel, we'll come back to yourself. So you're kind of training, you're snowboarding, you're living the Olympic trajectory dream. What were some of the obstacles and opportunities that presented themselves to you on this path?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with any sport, but definitely with, in my experience, any extreme sport, which was more my field, you know, kind of comes with the territory, broken bones. So it'd be a shorter list to tell you all the bones to date that I haven't broken. My back was my main injury that like really took me out. And the time off from that, the sport progresses so fast. I mean, kids now, you see like 10-year-old kids just doing things that were like Olympic winning things back then. They just do it because they're just going down the hill. You know, which is so nuts, the progression of a sport. But yet in the time off that I had, the sport had progressed so much and it was my worst injury. And so the rehabilitation behind that was definitely a lot. And then having so much time away, you realize, because we had some sponsors that were helping, you know, being able to travel isn't cheap and all that. And we just weren't in the position to do that. So I think a lot of things, and I took a lot of that on as an individual. I think I started to realize these things and what my parents were really sacrificing. My mom's taking out a second job. So I think being so young, I took a lot of that. You know, I was like, I feel so bad. Like, I shouldn't do this then. You know, I shouldn't put them in this position. And I was just like, well, if I can't do this, then I don't want to do anything else. You know, I was very young and that was my mindset. My dad is a musician now, and he had been my whole life. I grew up as a kid watching him play clubs and singing, had a studio, but I was never going to do music. You know, like, I was way too insecure. You know, I couldn't even snowboard at a competition without being like, what are they going to think of me? But yeah, I did that. I went back to the normal schooling system because we traveled with the team that I was with for snowboarding and competing. We had like a traveling tutor. So I got thrown back into the normal public schooling system. And I think the mentality that I was in, I was just like, if I can't do this, snowboard and do that the rest of my life, like, I don't want to do anything. That was my purpose, you know, what I felt, that was what I was put here on earth to do. And obviously the universe, external circumstances, that wasn't it. I now look back and say that that was the best thing that never happened for me, which is crazy, you know, the perspective. And I only say this and I voice these things for, you know, if anybody's listening and something didn't turn out the way that they thought it was supposed to. If you truly believe that everything is meant to happen how it should happen, it does, you know, and it unfolds that way. So that's why I voice that. But music, yeah, more so naturally came. I met some kids through just not being involved in the best people, places and things. I wasn't in the best mentality. And obviously I went to the club when I was younger. As a child, I would see my dad, but I went to a club in New York. It was a club called Pacha.
Oh, yeah.
You know Pacha?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, totally.
No way. I've done, okay, look, wait, hear me out. I've done so many interviews and so many podcasts. I've never had anyone be like, yeah, I know what that is. Like, so naturally, that's why I do what I do now.
Brilliant.
I walked in there and I was like, oh my gosh. Because I was used to also growing up outside of Philadelphia, where if you bump into someone on the street, it's like, it's a problem, you know? So I would go to New York and then I'd bump to someone in the club. I was like, oh my, I've never experienced this type of energy that I felt, you know, snowboarding. And so what I started to do is I would start to travel from Philadelphia to New York, sometimes three times a week, just to go up and be like, I don't know what it is in this industry, but I want to be a part of whatever it is, you know? And that's when I knew. And that just started the journey. I met with someone that was like, well, if you want to DJ, you're going to hit a ceiling. If you really want to take this thing to the next level, you're going to need to learn how to produce. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know how to work computers, you know, but I'll figure it out. Yes. So that's how it started, you know.
I love it. That's phenomenal. So it sounds like, you know, you hit a wall, you had significant injuries, the industry was moving fast, but it sounds like music was the light at the end of the tunnel. That's such a great story. So we can really see the reasons why you ended up being the able heart that you are today, so to speak. But Leo, coming back to yourself, talk to us a bit about what inspired you to create Duetti as the founder and CEO. What was the thing that was missing from music? So in the same way Abel was on that trajectory and really music was the answer to this question, it sounds like Duetti is the answer to what question? What was it you were trying to create?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. I would say, you know, for me, it was one of those things that was just so obvious that needs to get done in the industry. And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, you're just sitting in your office or in your home and you're reading industry news and you're seeing what's going on and you're just thinking like, why is no one doing it, right? So it was just so obvious to me that something like this needs to happen, right? And in particularly during COVID, when I started to think about it more seriously, Tidal, where I was before, kind of in the process of getting sold, you start thinking about what's next. And, you know, I saw all those newspaper headlines, which I'm sure you guys saw as well, of like really big catalogs of, you know, kind of A-list, really, really famous musicians. They're selling them to investment firms, right? And they're making a ton of money out of that. And that's really come from the longevity of music, right? Like people listen to the artists they like over and over and over again over years. You have this years and years and years of activity. Ultimately, you can kind of project how it's going to do and put a price on it. That's why investment firms like it so much. And so then I thought, because I was a Tidal at the time, I had access to consumer perspective, right? And to see how people actually behave. And what I saw is that the same way that people keep coming back to those A-list names that we're all familiar with, they do it across the board. They do it also for artists that maybe are not like at the very, very top 1%, but they still have, like Abel, you know, millions of people tuning into their music every single month, right? And so for me, once I saw that type of trend happening kind of across the market, I was like, from a finance point of view, right, going back to kind of my roots where I started, we can basically copy the model, right, that was going super strong for the top 1% and trying to make it more scalable and accessible to people kind of across the board, right? That was really the idea.
Fantastic. Right, that's great. You know, it sounds like, A, you had that momentum, the COO of Tidal, you had the contacts, you had the insights, and then you saw an opportunity to actually create in the world what you felt should be there for musicians and for folks who wanted to push the envelope in terms of finance, funding, and connecting with artists. Now, talk to us a bit, I don't know who wants to set this up, but talk to us a bit about how your paths crossed. How did you start working together? Because it's this great fusion, the two paths cross and kapow. So how did that happen?
So look, we started the company, as I said, just less than 2 years ago. And, you know, we have a bunch of people working in our team. And so part of that is a lot of data science, right? So we have data scientists that like sifting through the internet, right? And looking for people like Abel with a strong track record, independently minded, that, you know, releasing music, and they've built catalogs that are super valuable, right? And so we're putting together those lists and we're kind of going through them and we're listening to the music and we're kind of figuring out, okay, who should we reach out to and how should we present ourselves? And so that was one of the reasons for my team to reach out to Abel or to Abel's management and kind of just introduce ourselves and to say we're Duetti, explain what we're all about, basically using the data and kind of his public profile and what he's saying kind of out there in terms of what he's trying to achieve. And we just started a conversation and kind of build a partnership from there.
Definitely. And I will say you guys executed flawlessly. You guys are, and I don't just say this because no one's telling me to say any of this stuff, but you guys are phenomenal. And the position that you have in this industry is definitely making a huge difference, you know, and obviously then you connecting to me, obviously we deep dive, you know, especially being an independent artist. And at this point, just being like, I want to harness in on this, no big label thing. No, I'm very just, if I mix, master, produce, sound design, engineer, sing, and I could do all this stuff and create it, and then we live in the world where it's the internet and I could put it out there and then it could bridge to streams, why not build something, which is essentially just like building real estate, you know? And then for you to come up with the idea and have something like Duetti for independent artists is phenomenal because it helps support their career and be able to continue doing that. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it too as well.
Thank you, Abel. I really appreciate it. And I love that you say that, right? Because it's almost like the perfect like use case I had in mind when we started the whole thing almost 2 years ago. We're looking for artists that want to stay independent. They want to find that financing and maybe other things we can offer and support, right? To keep it like that, right? And as we've said, you know, I think even just a couple of months ago, Spotify came out and said that for the first time in 2023, over half of the royalties were paid out to independent artists and labels, so outside the major labels, right? So it's like really the industry, I strongly believe like the industry is moving, right? And like kind of every year, it's like another step into like a more open and kind of accessible kind of scenario. And so that's why, you know, I really, really enjoyed listening to Abel and how he described it, because that's exactly what we're here for.
Phenomenal. Okay, this is great. And Abel, would you mind talking a bit about what that meant practically? Because, you know, there was funding involved. It was kind of like a significant boost to your career. And you did a lot with the partnership, I believe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah, like I was just voicing, it was huge and impactful in the most positive and phenomenal way. Yes, it's career, right? So you could take these funds and you find someone like Duetti to have this amazing partnership. But it's like, okay, then I could use this money to continuously push to then 10x what I already have going on. And full transparency, like the back and forth between Duetti and myself, whatever my management was, so transparent that it allowed for us to feel like the flexibility to really come up with an idea that worked for best parties. It wasn't like, this is what it is and that's it. Like take it or leave it. It was not like that, which was huge for me too, because at this point I've been so independent that I don't even think I would have entertained something like that, because it's scary, right? Being an independent, especially as an artist, is someone going to take my percent? And then what's going to happen? Is it really good? And the way they laid out everything was super crystal clear. I feel like for any artist that would have a conversation with them, it was allowed me, I'm in Miami right now. So it allowed me to just figure out next steps in life, and then to be able to continuously push, whether it's, you know, to anything as far as new equipment or anything else to what I do, to be able to 10x it.
Wonderful. I love that. That's absolutely brilliant. Great. So, Lior, talk to us a bit about how you would explain duetti to an artist? You know, can you share with us the kind of thing you would have said to Abel's management?
Yeah, no, for sure. So in the most simplest term, right, we basically buy back catalogs. We're only looking at back catalogs. We're not looking at new music that hasn't been released yet, right? And so the minimum threshold for the music to be out is 2 years for us to engage in conversation, because we are leading with the data, right? So we're looking at the history of the track. We have all of the data scientists trying to extrapolate what it means for the future. And on that basis, we can kind of come up with a financial number. But to Abel's point, we're trying to do it in a very flexible way, right? And so it's not like, well, you have all this catalog and that's the number and it's kind of take it or leave it, right? And so we're trying to give a menu of options to people. You know, again, Abel is a great example that, you know, he had so many different records out there, right? So you can kind of start discussing, okay, so this one we think it can be in this kind of price range and that one in a different price range. And then we can discuss percentages, right? Because it doesn't necessarily need to be 100% per track. It can be a mixture. So we're doing all of that. And then the other piece that I would add to that, which is really important, and frankly, you know, we're still young, so we're kind of working on it, but we're seeing interesting proof points there, is kind of the management and the marketing of the catalog once we do the deal, right? And so we're building a very big playlisting network on Spotify. We're building YouTube channels. We have partnership with sync agencies. We're thinking about, you know, new ways to reintroduce music that we're involved with to consumers, right? And so we're trying to do more and more in that vein. It truly is a partnership, right? It's not like kind of a one and done, but it's really trying to work with folks that want to partner with us and kind of reintroduce and put new life into the catalog.
Interesting, right. That's utterly fascinating. It seems like a very new model of thinking in the music industry. It's very transparent, it's very dynamic, it's agile, it's flexible. You're working very much in partnership with the artist. Is there anything in terms of the tech or the platform, you know, you mentioned like the playlists and that kind of thing. What are some of the tech things under the hood that you might want to share there, Lior?
Yeah, so a lot of it is internal, right? We're basically using it to identify artists that we want to reach out to, like we've done in this case, and to kind of estimate the projections of the tracks. But look, we all come from kind of backgrounds of streaming and finance and tech, right? So we're kind of really going very, very deep into any catalogs that we're discussing, evaluating, and purchasing. As it comes to the streaming history, as it comes to really understanding if it comes from algorithms or it comes from playlisting, for example, and, you know, really kind of develop further. You know, one super interesting thing we're doing right now is we're really trying to understand for every single track that we're involved with is how is that track tagged and classified by the algorithms of the main streaming companies, right? And so if you can change that and tweak that, right, in an organic way, of course, we're not doing anything which is inorganic, then you can basically open up, right, you're almost like directing the algorithm to recognize, well, this track is now should be also introduced to new audiences that are interested in this and that genre. And by doing that, you're basically able to open up the aperture very significantly for new audiences to just get to know your music and get familiar with what you're doing, which, by the way, is then not only important for the back catalog tracks, but also for new music that artists that work with us are coming up with, because now they just have bigger audiences to speak to.
Phenomenal, right? So it's real data-driven, it's innovation, it's intelligence, but there's a lot of music in there as well. And like understanding what makes people tick, it is such a global passion. And speaking of which, Abel, let's come back to yourself. Now talk to us a bit about the music that you make. You know, not only do you make music, you also are building an incredible global community. And it seems like these things are very interleaved. So talk a bit about what inspires you to make the music you make and to build the community you're building.
What inspires me to make music? I think everyday life, sometimes I feel like if there's any artists listening, you know, sometimes it just comes out of nowhere. You know, it could be 3 a.m. and I don't want to go downstairs. You know, like I do not want to go downstairs and do this, but I have to get it out. Sometimes, you know, it's sporadic like that. And it's weird, you know, because I want to structure it as a business, but the creative field is just a totally different beast. And I would love to structure and be like, at this time, I'm going to get this done and this done. But, you know, creativity and being in the flow, and I'm big in, you know, the universe and frequency in the sense of, you know, what you put out there, you attract. What you put into the world, you attract. You know, what you focus on most, you attract. And all of these things, which led me full circle to creating a lot of music that then I would tune to frequencies. So it's like positive frequencies. Obviously, 888 hertz is the abundance frequency. It's like, wow, if I could put this in the music, not only do I think it's going to put a positive impact out into the world, but to your question, how do I have my inspired? Sometimes it's just me. Meditation is like huge in my life. So I listen to something in frequencies and I was like, oh my gosh, wait, I make music, right? What if I actually just took this and then tuned these frequencies? There's got to be other people out there, you know? So that started this whole wave that I'm currently on right now, as far as affirming statements and frequencies that built. It's been super insane lately, but that came from, I think it was like a 3 a.m. thought, right?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I know for a fact there's going to be a bunch of people very interested in that aspect of your music or listening to the podcast. We have some really cool folks in the whole biohacker community who tune into the podcast, and this is very much the kind of thing they'd be interested in. But talk to us a bit about the community aspect of what you do, because when you visit your website, and of course we will be linking to Duetti and Abelhart in the show notes, folks do check them both out. But on your website, Abel, it's very much about building a community, signing up, getting advice, you know, connecting directly with you. It's so engaging. It's so specifically kind of open in terms of people getting involved. Talk to us a bit about that aspect of things.
Yeah, I appreciate you. It's awesome that you see it that way. I try to be as transparent as possible. I know we live in the day and the age of social media, so it's like we don't know what's real and what's not. But yeah, you know, just building external communities as well outside of the music that are either on the wave of law of attraction, manifestation, frequency, abundance, or music, or just very curious about the things that I do, trying to build an audience of like-minded people that are, you know, in tune to that aspect in the most positive sense as possible. So we had built sites like, we have one that's called heartfam.com, and really just drawing the attention to trying to bring, honestly, the most personal aspect of why I do what I do to the internet, whether it's through Instagram, social media, or anything else. I also built master classes outside of this to be able to have one-on-one conversations with people that are trying to continuously move forward in life. Because at the end of the day, at least from my experience, we are either our own best friend or our own worst enemy. And we have great excuses to not do the thing that we know we need to do in order to get to where we want to be. So just trying to share that strength, experience, and hope with as many people as possible within the community.
Tremendous, mate. Tremendous. I was hoping you'd say something like that, and it exceeded my expectations. So that's lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Abel. So, Leo, coming back to yourself now, both yourself and Abel are very much creatives. You're creating things in the world, creating new business models, creating revenue opportunities, creating music, creating communities. How does Duetti feed into the world that you helped to create with Tidal? Because Tidal is such a big deal for music lovers. The Audio Talks playlist has always been on Tidal. We all love it. How is the world of Duetti and the world of Tidal overlapping, would you say?
First of all, I would say I appreciate it, but yeah, I don't. Creator, I think, is maybe stretching it a bit too far for me. I'm a business creator, but you know, I wouldn't go into the actual creatives because I have so much appreciation and to what folks like Abel and people that can actually create and kind of talk to people on like a level of like feelings and things like that. And so just wanted to kind of put a fine point on that one. But look, I think Tidal is, you know, it was a very interesting kind of experiment, right? That Jay started back in 2015, right? The first time, I think at scale at least, that a music kind of tech company was owned by artists, right? And I came from kind of the business side to kind of help and kind of put it all together. But, you know, I had a seat at the table and I was present in rooms where we're kind of discussing and thinking through the strategy of how you kind of marry up, right, the kind of creative and kind of the music side with the tech and the numbers and all the kind of mundane day-to-day stuff, right? I think in, you know, the original team of Tidal, we got some things really well and some things were a lot more challenging. But I would say overall, that thread of how do you use technology and finance and the business side of the house to really support and enhance creativity is something that I've been thinking about and being at the center of coming into a decade now.
Nice, nice. So it's a kind of very pure continuum, if you like. It's iterating along this path of your career. So that's fantastic. And it's good news for music lovers and now music makers everywhere. So wonderful. So listen, I'm going to throw a few questions out to you both. And, you know, they don't have to be long answers. It's whatever you'd like to say. What is one thing that our listeners should know about you or what you do? If you want them to take away one thing, what would it be? And we'll start with yourself, Abel.
One thing. That's a difficult question. There's so many things. But about me is I want to reach as many people as possible to spread, like I said earlier, as much experience, strength, and hope as possible through music. And I like to say a cool way, you know, just because there's a lot of things that, whether it's frequency and law of attraction, that essentially, if you put that into a sentence, it might sound a little bit cheesy. So to be able to have come from a producer background, to be able to mix and produce some of that music, just that the one thing we all know as human beings is that we're all just here trying to figure it out, you know, no matter where you're at. So yeah, just that and just real life conversations and positive music.
Love it, mate. Thank you very much, Abel. And Lior, same difficult question to yourself. What is one thing our listeners should know about you?
Yeah, so what I would say, maybe kind of me as part of kind of the Duetti mission, I would say that we're hoping that artists and management teams and artist teams would really recognize us as folks that are really trying to provide more transparency and optionality and just being helpful, right? So we've had cases with Abel, of course, it was fantastic that ultimately, you know, we got a deal done and developed something from there. You know, in other cases, you know, we can be approached and provide a perspective on prices and valuation and the financial value and management and marketing and all of those things, even if it doesn't lead to a deal, right? But it helps people to think and to formulate business decisions and creative decisions and maybe discussions they're having with other kind of people in the music industry. And so that's, for me, the most important thing. We're really trying to be a resource for the community to kind of think through the asset value. I think Abel used even like the analogy of real estate, right? Like the asset value that were created, you know, throughout their careers and kind of how to think about it in kind of financial terms, which is only one dimension, but it's an important one, which then hopefully can empower them to do more.
Phenomenal. I love it. Brilliant. Right. I've got another quick fire question for you. First, over to your good self, Abel. What is one thing that you know now that you wish you knew 10 years ago, more or less?
Ooh, one thing I know that I wish I would have known 10 years ago, to get out of my own way sooner. I don't know if that's like a proper question of that, but I wish I would have got on my own way sooner. You know, we come up with, like I said earlier, great excuses that hold us back from the things we want most in life. Don't know why we do it, but I wish I would have let go of a lot of the things that I thought people cared about. And I think this is actually a great structure, because in my head at the start, it was like, it's going to be a label and it's only going to be this. There's no other way to do this, you know? And if anything else comes in, because I'm holding myself back from other possibilities of being able to structure my life and build my life. Yet I didn't know that back then. But now coming to the place where I did know it, I highly doubt I ever would have structured or had conversations with a company like Duetti to be able to then change my life in a way that I never knew. So it's really just, I wish I knew how to let go a lot sooner to realize that there's more and really possibly and potentially better opportunities than the way I thought it should have been done.
Sweet. Thank you very much. And Leo, same challenging quickfire question to your good self. What do you know now that you wish you knew 10 years ago?
So I'll go on a similar theme from a different angle. And I would say that, you know, now, right, the last 2 years is the first time that I actually started something on my own, right? Before that, I was very much corporate. I then worked in a very entrepreneurial company, but as an executive, as an employee. And now I have that experience, right, for the last 2 years of starting something on my own. And I would say that it's one of the most rewarding professional experiences I've ever had. To look back, and I remember very well how it was just an idea in my head. And I even didn't even want to share that with people because I thought it's like not very smart or doesn't really make a lot of sense, or people would just be like not super excited about that, right? And so I remember that sensation very, very vividly. And so 2 years later, you know, we have 25 people, 3 offices, working with hundreds of artists, right? It's that kind of jump is a really rewarding journey, which I'm hoping will continue.
Fantastic. Well, it's been such a pleasure hearing about both your journeys, where you started, where you're going, and how they overlapped just magnificently. But I have one final question for both of you. And this is a question that we ask all of our VIP guests, and that is to choose a track and add it to our VIP Tidal playlist. And seeing as you were the former COO of Tidal itself, Leo, I'm going to come to your good self first. What is your track to add to our playlist?
Yeah, so look, I wanted to mention one of Abel's tracks. I actually decided to go with another artist just because Abel, you know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will check out his music after this podcast. And so I wanted to give an opportunity to another artist that we work with. His name is Luke Mitterrani. He's actually also a former athlete. I think it was in snowboarding. We walk with him. We love him. And he has one particular song that I loved. It's called Crazy Mad Beautiful. So check it out. You know, love that song and recommend people to check out his music.
Excellent. I love it. I'm sure we got some snowboarders tuning in as well. This is just, you know, music to my ears. And speaking of which, we're going to come to your good self, Abel, for the final word. What track are you going to add to our playlist?
Definitely. Well, I'll for sure shamelessly plug my music. Yeah, I say Too Good. My song, Too Good. Abel Hart, Too Good.
Outstanding. I love it. That's been just too good. You've been a dynamic duo, a dynamic duet. And I'm going to add to the playlist another duet, and it has the word Abel in it. So it's kind of, you know, it's a bit of a Venn diagram there. It's Jimmy Holiday and Clyde King with Ready, Willing and Abel. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, Lior T-Bone.
Thank you so much.
And Abel Hart.
Thank you so much for having me. Been amazing.
What a pleasure. Listeners, don't forget to subscribe, comment and share Audio Talks with your friends and family. If you're enjoying the Audio Talks series of podcasts, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your favorite podcasts and leave a nice review. It really does mean a lot and it helps new listeners to get to know the heart-centered power players we talk to in every single episode, just like Abel and Lior. So for more exclusive content, some behind-the-scenes goodies and maybe even some competitions, connect with us over on the Instagram. You can find us at Audio Talks Podcast. We'll be back soon for more Ready, Willing and Able Audio Talks. See you next time.